we also really believe in conscious consumerism. And so, you know, if you don't need to buy something, don't buy it. But if you are going to buy something of quality that's going to last you generations.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it.
Oh man, it's that pre-Mercury retrograde shadow phase. I don't know about you all, but I actually am super prosperous during Mercury retrograde every time. It's only the pre-phase, that 2 weeks before, and the post-shadow phase that just do me in. And yeah, so I'm finally back from Scotland. I just got in on Tuesday and the cold finally caught me, because of that 11-hour flight back where I didn't sleep and I couldn't take any of the stuff on my protocol. So forgive my voice. It's fresh. I'm just resting and tuning in to the Tudor show. I never watched it. So I'm rotating between that right now, The Politician, and the new Paul Rudd show. So yeah, those are the few things that I like to just binge while I'm sick and sleep. So yeah, Scotland was incredible. It really does feel like my heart, forgive any loud noise in the background too. We're still building that second unit that we're going to live in while we're redoing this house. So disclaimer, but Scotland really feels like my heart. It was so confirming to go there again on this trip. And it just, I've never had such a soul connection to a place. So I'll definitely be going back in January. I'm going to start meeting with a lawyer and a realtor and see what that really looks like for the potential of the next retreat house, also simmering on one in the States. So we'll see if and what happens first. But actually, I had such a massive expander experience while I was there because an old former client of mine, Claire, who is in the UK, turned me on to a place called Lundy's House. We'll link it below. So I stayed at the Fife Arms, which I told you about. And then I headed, that was in the east, and I headed all the way up to the north to this really cool group of people, Swedes, I believe, who own these like estates and farmhouses and things throughout Scotland and have just designed them so beautifully and created these experiences. And so Lundy's is one of those. And I posted a lot about it on Instagram. And so the design is actually very similar to the retreat house, but much more in a Scandinavian Scottish way. But what was so incredible about it, so it's in a place called Tongue, which is right at the top tip. The Sutherlands is sort of the area. And what's so incredible about it is it's an old manse, so like an old mansion. However, the owners sought out and found these incredible people who have really run with it. And so a woman named Marta, James, who's the lead chef, Jack, who is the other chef, and they created this phenomenal experience. So your dinner and breakfast is always included, but we're not talking about like a buffet style. These, I think they're former chefs of a really famous restaurant in Sweden. And so it really is like a Michelin star quality meals twice a day, and they'll pack you a lunch. And it was such an amazing experience. So I stayed in the top loft, the Flora, and this is totally unsponsored. I paid full price for this. Didn't even know what to expect, truthfully, except for good design. And so every single night they made these 3-course meals with bites and dessert, and they accommodated to a T my dietary restrictions right now because I'm doing the Karen Hurd protocol through my coach, Unique Hammond. We'll link both below. I've been talking about them a lot. So I'm not having so many things, dairy, sweeteners of any kind, including fruit right now. I truthfully just can't really have eggs on their own. I can have them in things, but that happened 2 years ago. I think I just overate way too many eggs and developed a tiny allergy that hopefully will pass one day. So they completely accommodated and made vegan things from scratch for me and made sure I was totally included in this like high quality dining experience every day. And it just feels, you know what it felt like? It's sort of what you see in those old boarding house shows, except like incredible design and no rules, where, you know, it was like sort of this person owns, you know, a really big home and rents out the rooms and makes dinner for them and creates this familial experience through all of the people who are letting, you know, the different rooms or staying there. And that's what it felt like. In the final evening, they created this outdoor experience, which was incredible because it was raining and windy. And James, the chef, he was actually barbecuing around the pit fire. And it was just so, I met so many beautiful people there. It was the first time traveling on my own. So I met incredible creatives and a couple of people from the States, some Finns, some South Africans. So it's just this unbelievable experience. So if anybody is looking for somewhere to holiday in Scotland, if you're in the UK or you're thinking about making a trip there, truthfully, above, I've stayed at some incredible places all over the UK. This changed my heart and is now for sure the expander and the model of whatever I do at the next retreat experience. So I'm certainly calling in an incredible team like Marta, James, and Jack, who completely blew my mind open about what hosting and hospitality can look like in such an intimate, chic way. Mind blown. So yes, that'll be linked below if you're remotely considering a trip up there. And of course, it's like totally lining the sea. So it has locks, it has sea. It's just so beautiful up there. So I just wanted to throw that out there and talk about that. And a couple of other really special places that I always go to when I'm in the UK. I always hit Egg Trading. That's my favorite clothing design shop, which everybody knows that. I think I tag them in most every photo. I discovered them about 3 years ago at Dover Street Market. And it's just, to me, the best shopping experience too. Like back then I would really have to save up to get a piece, and they're pieces that I've had for life. I've never discarded an egg piece, and they're timeless. So I see them being in my closet forever. And this time I picked up, they have an incredible Oxford shirt that kind of, it's white and sort of canvasy feeling, and it flares at the bottom. And then they have a cashmere sweater that rolls and is perfect over them or over those bigger, I forget what they're called, kind of dresses, but Casey makes dresses like that. And anyway, so I picked up some wonderful pieces there. Chiltern Hotel is always my absolute favorite place to stay in London. I love their dining experience as well. It's the same creators of Bowery in New York, and they own another one in Amagansett. But so those are some things if anybody's kind of looking for a guide. I also have on the blog, if you just Google To Be Magnetic Scotland, I have a great old roundup there. I also have the same thing for London, which I had a friend of mine who's in the UK curate. So really incredible shopping, dining, stay. So anybody who might have those on your radar to be traveling, I just wanted to share that with you. And I do want to give a special shout out to a really new special brand that I don't know if it came from doing this work, but a great friend of mine, Mel, who's totally like heading up her company. You guys have heard her on the podcast twice. She is the co-founder of Conscious City Guide. She reached out recently and said her friend wanted to thank me for doing the work and wanted to send me one of the wool sweaters from her line she's since put into the world, which is called Covet. And I received that. And I get so many gifts from you guys for this very reason. And to me, I cherish every single thing that you send me. This one was this beautiful handmade wool cardigan that's just mind-blowing. And it's so in my style. And when I opened it, I was like, oh my God, thank you, universe. Because the whole time I was in Scotland, I was looking for something identical to it, like the perfect cardigan, which I don't own. And this is another piece I'll have for life. So I do have to give this line a shout out and link it below because it's really, really quite special. But aside from that, finally, my body has totally communicated that I can't mess around anymore like I did on my travels, that it's time to do bed rest. I never get sick. And so the fact that I even caught a cold, I especially never get sick on travels, I think my body is at its wit's end and the bed rest officially starts now. And so I took my big first step in this, which I'll share with you because I was so open last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, actually, about what's going on in the whole bed rest and how my shadow is presenting and the work I'm doing around it. And I received a really heavy big ping that I needed to move my work schedule around so that I take all calls Monday morning and anything I have to be, you know, physically present for or anything like that on Tuesday, true projector style, only 2 to 3 hours a day. And the rest of the week is literally in bed sleeping. I thought I could kind of get away on this trip with being mindful and restful. There were many days, especially up at Lundy's, that I stayed in bed most of the day and just slept and read. Wasn't enough. So I'm finally really listening. And I have to give an incredible shout out to this team, especially Julia, who, you know, it really facilitated this shift in my schedule and how gracious I am to her and the whole team for supporting me undyingly. Everybody has been so supportive. And I think my response to everyone is like, oh my God, I'm so shadowy. Thank you so much. So I have to give the biggest shout out to everybody and gratitude because I'm really going to embark on that and I'm serious about it. So it's so funny too, because this time of year, this happened to me actually, I think it was 2 years ago when I went to meet Max in Milan and then we road trip to a place called Uzès, France. And I stopped at a little store. I was my body, because I'm an intuitive eater, will tell me when it's craving something. And it was craving reishi. I used to be like the crazy adaptogen girl. In fact, you can find a lot of those old recipes and tonics way before people were doing that whatsoever. And so obviously ashwagandha, so many of them, but reishi I had a connection with, but it's only in the last 3 years that my body will communicate to me at this time it needs it. And so I happened to stumble into a store then, like a tiny health food store. They call it bio, you know, for organic. And they had 4-sigmatic reishi, which to me, I'll be really honest, I've tried so many different adaptogens from different companies. And I do find theirs to be the most extracted and bioavailable, which is really important. So it really does instantly feel to me. And it's fascinating. I remember sitting in New York like a year ago and their slogan for the reishi is yoga in a cup. I think that was it. It's still maybe, I'm not sure, but I went, yeah, this is fucking yoga in a cup. And so it's always around that January mark. I guess that was just last year, January. How funny that it's hitting me a little bit earlier because I was actually in a cold and rainy place. And so this whole trip, I picked up 4-sigmatic reishi and their lion's mane, and I enjoyed it the entire time. That was sort of the thing I was drinking, which because of this protocol, I can't have anything but water. And so that was really, it's a beautiful little treat, right? And I only drink it when my body's really craving it, but I'm super turned on to that. And that really got me through as an enjoyment cup and zenness when I did have to rest on this trip as well. And they've always been pretty big supporters of me. I think I even am one of their very first quotes on their site from ages ago. And so they've been generous enough to give us the code TBM15 for 15% off store-wide on their online shop, if that is speaking to you as well. Yeah. Well, today's guest, let's get into that, is Koyuchi. Koyuchi is today's guest. Oh my gosh. I already tell a pretty prominent story in the beginning of this, so I'm not going to go too in depth, but I will just say that I did 1000% manifest Koyuchi. There's so many instances of this, but I talk about when I received my very first Kwayuchi piece when I was really young. It was from actually my ex's mother, who, you know, is still a best friend of mine. Really incredible design eye. She's Parisian and bohemian on top of that. And she gifted me my first Kwayuchi piece. And I remember being like, one day my whole house will be Kwayuchi. And then when we were putting together Doc very early on, after we had acquired the retreat house, we put together this like dream doc of who we would love to collaborate and partner with on the house to facilitate, stock it, design it. And Kwayuchi was a big one of those. And so they reached out, a few months ago, and they don't do paid partnerships, which I didn't even like fathom, because I was just so happy that they were in touch. And, you know, they wanted to do an Instagram thing. And I was like, I have a better idea. Why don't you guys stock the house? And, you know, and we'll like just very organically share you. And so that was the case. And that developed into having them on the podcast, which I'm so happy we did. I mean, this episode far surpassed even the goodness that I knew it would be. This episode is so enlightening about how sustainable, how deep, how responsible, how much quality a brand can become. This brand has blown my mind. If anybody out there is passionate about design, if you ever want to have a homewares company, stock homeware, if you're just generally interested in loungewear, homeware, bedding, you will never turn back after listening to this episode. I think it can hit the hearts of everybody. And there's just so many expansive moments in it where we just learn about what true integrity out of a company can look like. So I'm so excited because we end up having Sejal and Margot, two top people within the company, join and really go deep into explaining why this brand has such deep integrity. And they've been wonderful enough to offer everybody a code 30% off of an order of 200 or more using the code EXPANDED, all caps. And you'll definitely hear what my favorite picks are in the brand. Let's get into this. It's so good. So welcome to the podcast. So I'm going to kick off. Who wants to start off telling us a little bit about the history? And then I'm going to go into my personal experience of why I think I manifested Kwayuchi for the house.
Sure, I can kick off. So this is Sejal, and I've actually been at Kwayuchi for about a year, but Kwayuchi was founded in 1991. By Christine Nielsen. And so she actually was a pioneer in organic cotton. She was a weaver herself and kind of developed this community of hand weavers in Oaxaca and Mexico. And during one of her trips there, she actually discovered cotton in its rawest form. And it was this brownish sort of cotton. And it was natural and organic, and really was fascinated by that and brought that back to Point Reyes, where we were founded. And it's really where, you know, organic cotton with Kwayuchi really started. So it's interesting because the word Kwayuchi is actually from an Aztec language and it means cotton, but it also refers to kind of the brownish, whitish hue of a coyote's fur. So it's pretty interesting.
Amazing. Yeah. And can you just give us in a nutshell? Well, first, I want to give my personal example.
Sure.
I want to nail it down because I've been such a fan of the brand since I think I was 20. I was telling you guys earlier before this, but I was 27 or 28 when I was first introduced to it by my ex's mother, who gave me one of your kind of Turkish towels. What's the name of that?
The Mediterranean towel.
Because you still have it.
We do.
It's
yes,
amazing.
It's one of our best sellers.
And yeah. I still have it.
Wow.
It's the yellow one.
Love it.
Remember when I was introduced to it, I was like, because people in this brand know how much I love design. And I really connect with design that hits all of the elements. So it felt chic. It was like a perfect weight. It was also the texture of it wasn't like the cheap, you know, you've seen the flimsy ones if you're in France or if you're in Europe,
yeah.
You can kind of just access them everywhere. And then also the branding was so beautiful. And then I would start to notice I was so poor then that all my favorite design spaces that I'd go into, like Nikki Kehoe or whatever, that I couldn't like afford anything.
but they carried you. And I remember then making a mental note. I was like, one day my house is going to be full of cream cheese.
I love that story. Exactly. I love hearing that. And, you know, having only worked for the brand for a short period of time, I hear so many of the stories that are similar to yours. And I think that's what really, you know, drew me to the brand. And what's so amazing is that people really do have this passionate, you know, kind of affinity for the brand. And it makes doing our jobs a lot easier.
And I think that's so important to be with a company. On here, we feature so many guests that left the shitty job to go, you know, to go start their own thing and be an entrepreneur or manifest the next thing. But it's actually really refreshing to sit here and speak with you guys who really, really are passionate about the company you work with. Mm-hmm. Can you go into how each of you came to be a part of the company? Maybe was there a point that you manifested it from your last experience with your own version of what manifestation may be? And then also, you know, how you navigate lifestyle of being working for a company, but still meeting all of your needs. Because I think that's a lot of people's strife. Mm-hmm. It's like they can't wait to get out to be free. So how you manifested it, how it is working for the company, and how you balance it with your life.
Yeah, I can start. I have actually been at Koyuchi for just over 7 years.
Wow.
So I was thinking about it coming out here that like it was September of 2012 when I started working for the company. And there are just so many aspects of my specific role in production and sustainability that I love, and also about being at a brand like Koyuchi. But I think probably the most important thing to me is that I don't have to compromise. Like, yeah. I haven't had to compromise in my values, in my day-to-day. And that's been really important. Part of it is the story that Sejal just told. We have vendors. I work closely with our vendors. We have vendors and farm partners who Christine actually worked with in the very beginning when she was still part of the company.
Can you elaborate on the value system as well as the partnerships?
Yeah. So the mission of the company is not short, but
we'll take
again,
it.
It's uncompromising.
Yeah.
The mission is centered around, I'll say, five things. So material is at the heart of the company. We only source organic materials. We only source natural materials in terms of chemicals, because in textiles, you have to have chemicals. It's something that people are always surprised by. They mm-hmm. constantly think organic or natural means there's zero chemicals, and that's just not possible. But we approach chemicals in a way where we put the safety of each user, of the people who are making our product, whether growing the materials in the raw form or processing the materials, are going to be as safe as they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have people. So of course, again, the people who are growing the materials, who are making the products, are all going to be respected. And we follow the International Labor Organization for labor rights. And then we also have a bunch of fair trade partners, and fair trade's an awesome organization. There are a couple different branches. We work closely with Fair Trade USA in Oakland, mm-hmm. and they have a program where they're looking at the living wage in each area where you're making your products, and calculating if there's any difference between what they're being paid and what they should be making to be considered a living wage. And they help you as a company offset what that amount would be.
Incredible.
So that's really, really cool. The other aspect of Koyuchi, which I think you touched on in your personal story, is the importance of design.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an ethos to evoke the coast in all of our products.
And the naming.
Yeah.
And the naming.
Yeah. So that covers like sort of a restorative palette. You'll see a lot of blues, a lot of grays in our palette, things that evoke the ocean. We've branched out a little bit, but still, you know, trying to keep a natural palette that feels very down to earth and can help you and your home create a space that's feels like your own sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
We also think a lot about hand feel. And so how do you have fabrics in your home that evoke comfort mm-hmm. and relaxation. So we're always like going around feeling fabrics during development, during production, after production, and even after use. So we want to make sure that anything that somebody buys, you know, can last, you know, however 10, 20 years.
Again, I still have that towel. Yeah. It's my like signature beach towel and it's totally lasted me. Can you go a bit more just to educate myself and then the common listener about, because my fiance who has his own brand that's like fully sustainable, it's like he laughs all the time when H&M comes out with a collection that's organic, you know? And yeah, I think a lot of people are trying to optimize on this movement that they see that there's a pretty high profit line, you know, and playing on words. I would love to hear more about that process of organic, because I do know that this particular brand has that quality and all of the things that you just hit and what you told us about. Like how, I guess, what am I really trying to ask is if you can just explain the process of how you guys go from the moment that you pick a raw material to development and how you can keep it as clean and clear as possible, because like you said, nothing can be fully, fully chemical free.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually, at the core, I think, of what we've been trying to do, especially since I joined the company in 2012. But there's a certification called the Global Organic Textile Standard, or GOTS for short. And Koyuchi is certified to that standard because it covers not only the raw material, but it covers that material through the entire supply chain. So you can sometimes see products that are called natural or, you know, more specifically organic. And unless they really say GOTS, that raw material could have been processed. It could have been dyed.
Even dyed.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's important for us to be able to have a chain of custody that is protecting what is being grown all the way through to the end product. So, you know, in our supply chain, most of the organic cotton in the world is grown in India. So mm-hmm. we work with a lot of farmers in different regions of India. And so they have a specific countrywide organic certification within that country because the crop is so important to them as a commodity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so after that, then every single partner, including Koyuchi, has to have their own certificate to GOTS in order to work with the raw material. And that's super important for us to be able to verify. It's not ideal because it involves cost for certification by everybody. But right now it's the best way we have to maintain that purity.
And integrity. Yeah. And this is kind of my question. And I'm getting us off on a tangent. I do want to go back to your story. But being a business owner now and understanding bottom lines and all of that kind of stuff, I mean, how are you guys able to maintain and scale at this level of integrity? The product, we have it all over the house. We'll get into that more, the Forest House. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible. I just am curious, you know, your strategy behind that for the person who wants to start a company or for the person who has a business and wants to have more integrity and, you know, go to these places that require a lot more money and, you know, certification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, part of that is that, you know, we weren't profitable initially, right? And so the company didn't sacrifice the quality in order to be profitable. I think really what was really important for Koyuchi was, let's make sure we establish these relationships, but let's make sure everybody in the supply chain is getting their fair wage. And then, you know, we really kind of, I guess, manifested it. You know, we did believe that, you know, that would come to fruition and people would start to see the product for what it was, and then we would become profitable. And so we are a profitable company now, and we're still a small company and growing. And so it's really important for us to be able to do both. But, you know, I think we stepped into it without sacrificing what we believed in.
Incredible. Now going back to the listener who wants to be expanded, that they're working for or can find the company to work for, you know, that's not the one who's out there wanting to be the entrepreneur, to find sort of their dream job, just hearing more of how you manifested it. And clearly it's an amazing company if they've kept you around for seven years, you know, and you haven't fleeted somewhere else. So I'd love to go into that more from both of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it was a little different. I think my journey was much longer before I got to where I am. I've been in e-commerce for probably over 16 years, and I love that space. I love you know, learning about the customer and selling products online and, you know, understanding data. And so for me, kind of what the product was somewhat secondary to learning about the customer and how they behave. You know, I had worked at a bunch of different companies selling computers online or skincare online, and most recently before Koyuchi, fast fashion. And I think that's really where, you know, I started to kind of open my eyes to actually the product does matter. Mm-hmm. You know, no amount of marketing and money, you know, will make up for, you know, what you're putting out there in the world. And I think myself personally, I lived a more organic lifestyle. I was really environmentally conscious. I was worried about what, you know, what's happening with climate change. And then working for a company that was truly all about, you know, how many new products can we launch a week and, you know, how cheaply can we make them and sell them? That really kind of was a turning point for me. And so I started kind of looking for a job, not knowing that I could find that in my job, right? I think I was starting to live a different life, not knowing that it existed in my work life as well. And I got a call from a recruiter and it was really random. I had changed my LinkedIn to looking, and within like a week or two, I had gotten this call and had this incredible experience talking to the recruiter. Later came in and met with the CEO of Koyuchi, and I think it was supposed to be like an hour long interview, and I was in there for like 2 or 2.5 hours.
Incredible.
And you know, we had a lot in common, and I walked out of there going, yeah, you know, this completely aligns with, you know, who I am. Mm. And I didn't have to be a different person at work versus at home. And now the two can really blend together. And now kind of the research I do for work is stuff that I like to read on my own personally. And Margot's been great because she, you know, has so many years in this business and sending over articles about sustainability. And it's been great really just learning a lot more. And the deeper in I get, the more I'm just fascinated. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is being able to teach. I love being able to, you know, show people that there is a different way. And if you get to do it as your job, that's kind of a bonus.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's the dream. And for you, Margot, somebody who's been with a company for 7 years, how are you able to keep growing and have your interests met to stay? And then, you know, is the company really receptive of the things you're creatively inspired by? I think those are probably key components for longevity in a company.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because I don't think I can separate my own growth with like the growth of the product team, which is where I work. It's happened so organically. It's really kind of amazing. I started just interning for the company a few days a week, learning the vendors, learning the different product names and the materials. And honestly, in turn, like the company has taught me so much. So even just something as simple as cotton, I mean, there's a reason we've been using cotton in textiles for forever as, you know, humans, because it can be spun into so many different qualities of yarns. It can be woven into so many different fabrics, knit into so many different fabrics. So that process materially has been super interesting for me. And then, you know, it's everything has evolved with what I've been sort of in tune with. So in terms of certifications and looking at, okay, now we have an organic certification. Now, how do we apply that? How do we work with that, you know, systematically? How do we set up a system so we get all the certificates that guarantee that what we say we're getting, we're getting? You know, that takes a lot of time to establish. And then there are all kinds of different areas in terms of production where you have to look for textiles. So in terms of the chemicals, which is probably the other biggest area besides raw materials where there's impact, we look really carefully at where are our suppliers buying their chemicals and what are they using. So with GOTS, there's an approved inputs list. So they're looking at chemicals that have already been reviewed by a third party. And that's super important to us because I'm not a toxicologist. No one on our team is a trained toxicologist. So to have somebody else doing that legwork really helps. And so recently, about a year or so ago, we partnered with a group called MadeSafe. And so they're sort of a relatively new nonprofit in the bedding and home textile space. They've up to then had just developed a system for reviewing more personal care products, cleaning products, things like that. But they were looking at trying to expand the kinds of products they were looking at. And so we partnered with them. So it's evolving and finding new partners that help you sort of understand what you're building and the kinds of risks that are out there that you need to be seriously taking into consideration for yourself, but also for, you know, all the customers
and humanity and the planet and the ocean and all the things.
And it was really interesting because when I started, you know, obviously I was trying to learn about all of these different certifications and, you know, how we talk about them to the consumer. And I think the more I dug, the more I realized like, this isn't just like a marketing ploy, like it literally everyone lives and breathes this. And so it, you know, for me, it was like, it wasn't just this one thing. Like, I think there's tons of brands out there that are like, for everything you buy, we donate this one thing. It's like, no, actually for this grouping of product, we do these things. And then for this, we do those things because that's what's actually important for that farmer, or that particular space. And so we work with a group up in Northern California called Fibershed, and they actually work with these, it's like a farmer co-op, and they figured out a way to kind of sequester the carbon in the soil. And so it doesn't actually get emitted into the environment. And so all of our wool that we sell comes from Northern California, from these sheep, from these farms that are actually figuring this stuff out. And it's a small co-op, but it's like we get to really work hands-on with these tiny little farms and people. And that's what's really exciting. It's like where we don't just have a one-liner because it's deep.
You know, it's so deep. I think people are really undereducated about the eco balance, or what would you call that? Because a lot of people, I don't think, realize when you do those one-liners, it really disrupts a lot for the ecosystem. Yeah. And I don't just mean the ecosystem on the planet, but the ecosystem of people's livelihoods, you know?
Right.
There's a company, obviously, who gives back a shoe for every purchase. Yeah. And then you start to speak to the local people who were the craftsmen who make shoes, and that was their livelihood.
Yeah.
And now in those specific regions, they don't have jobs anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So there's an ecosystem. And I think the exact direction that your company is taking is absolutely important to not disrupt that.
Right.
And then how can you make the world back to what it was in like 300 years ago?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. We're trying slowly.
I know.
There's in India, there's even, you know, a factory we work with that has like zero water waste as well. And so there's a lot of really cool things that, you know, as you dig in, you really start to learn. But there's no way, you know, as a consumer coming to your website, you can't like throw these hundreds of things at them. So as a marketer, it's been interesting,
but it's challenging.
It's humbling, you know, because it's like, finally, there's actually a company that like, it's not a one-liner.
Yeah. And how do you do the brand positioning correctly? And this is really the important space. I think that's why these conversations are so important to have. And, you know, getting back to myself again, who was broke and had that one towel and I think a hand towel.
I love that story.
You know, but just knowing that being aspirational for saving up for this type of stuff, or putting it as the thing you want for the holiday season, you know, that I used to do that all the time when I couldn't afford something nice. That's where my, you know, list for the holidays for my family, it would be like that one piece that's going to make me feel good. Well, you're also buying into this, you know, you're buying into this responsibility, you know? And so I want to pivot to just two more environmental things, because I think they're really important to discuss and to educate people on. But one of the biggest landfill problems is clothing, is, you know, fabrics going into landfills. And then, I mean, I don't know if it's as big of a problem as plastic, but it's a pretty big problem, right?
Yeah.
What do you guys speak to that? I'm sure you're educated on that.
Yeah. So we have two programs that we put in place, and primarily to kind of solve this problem, right? We've been around for 28 years. We know that our product is out there, and we've done everything to make sure that our product is quality and doesn't fall apart after however many washes. And so, however, because we've been around for a while, we realize people also like to refresh their bedding or refresh their looks. And wanting to make sure that we know what's happening with that product when it's end of life. And so we developed a program called Second Home, mm-hmm. and it allows you to send back your old Koyuchi linens. Mm. And we actually pay for you to ship it back to us.
What?
Yeah. So we'll give you a free shipping label to send it back to us. And we work with a third party to upcycle, renew, and recycle this product. And so anything that can be washed and cleaned and resold, we actually sell it up in our store in Point Reyes. Mm. And it's sold at a discount and
like
packaged.
Seconds.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. seconds. And it's packaged that way. And so a lot of people who can actually, you know, afford Koyuchi love going up to that store because they can find these gems. And so we get a lot of people that just kind of wander in off the streets because they're just like, wow, what do you have today, right? Because it's always going to be different. It's a find. Yeah. yeah. And then, you know, the other part of it is that we're anything that is, you know, to the point where we can't upsell it or upcycle it, we actually will take all of that fabric and store it. And we're working on a 100% fully recycled product that we'll be able to kind of put out there. And so that circularity is really important to our business and wanting to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of the stuff that's going out there and finding a home for it when it's end of life. We also have a program called Koyuchi for Life, which is more of a subscription program, but I call it like a rent to own type of a thing.
Wow.
And so basically you would pay somewhere between $5 and $12 a month and you would get the product right away and just pay for it over the course of 6, 12 or 24 months.
Wow.
And at the end of that time period, you can decide to keep the product because you've paid for it by then.
You're leasing it.
You're leasing yeah. it, but there's no like interest rate, right?
I totally bought into that at 27.
Totally. And then at the end of it, you can keep it or send it back to us. And again, if you send it back to us, we work it through the Second Home program where we're upcycle, recycling, or renewing it.
So you guys have really tried every, I mean,
we're trying
to stump you here, but like, you guys have thought of every angle to make this as sustainable and as accessible.
We try and, you know, and I think one thing that's really amazing is we don't ever stop, right? Like we realize that this isn't the end all be all. And we also really believe in conscious consumerism. And so, you know, if you don't need to buy something, don't buy it. But if you are going to buy something of quality that's going to last you generations. Like, I can't imagine how many beach towels I had been through in my past.
Sure.
And now that I've discovered something that can actually last and, you know, isn't, you know, a fast fashion-y type of product, it like will always be timeless and beautiful. And so, you know, really starting to think that. And I think people are thinking about their clothing that way. So it's great to start to think about, you know, your home and your bedding in that way as well.
And now I'm going to try to stump you.
Okay,
do you have a give back program too?
A give back program. So we do.
Again, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, you've done it
we
all.
We have a
you've
program.
Thought of it all.
Yeah, we have a program called 1% for the Planet, where 1% of the proceeds of certain products, and during our holiday season, it's pretty much everything on our site, goes back into this fund. And then we can designate where we want that 1% to go. And ours is designated to Fiber Shed, which is this wool farming co-op in Northern California that I talked about.
Who needs that? Oh, I just think that's really, really beautiful. Yeah. Let's talk self-care. Let's pivot there. I also think it's just an important conversation for the person who's listening, like me, who's struggled with endocrine issues. And now I'm on this really specific health protocol that calls for everything being totally unscented, completely raw. How can we, you know, obviously you have an accessible program now where there's a potential of literally leasing.
Yes.
That's incredible. I've never even thought of that in business in this realm. And I think that's so smart and amazing. What can you speak to for the person who's sensitive or who is looking for self-care and they are inspired through this brand?
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode with the Koyuchi team to share a My Magnetic story, which are the testimonials from our Pathway members that are doing our workshops. Here goes. I've had a major manifestation come through as my dream partner. I consider my partner to be the most kismet manifestation that still makes me catch my breath on a daily basis because we're so perfectly matched. It was just shortly after I discovered Lacey's work that I called him in. His appearance in my life mirrored exactly the stepping into your self-worth process and magnetism that results from doing so that she describes. I had been in a 10-year marriage with a narcissist, and I had struggled for years with his emotional abuse, gaslighting, and extreme disregard for my well-being. My health was deteriorating, and I felt stuck in my personal life. I'm very sensitive and empathic person, and I got drawn into the cycle of trying to help my husband become a better person and deal with his trauma. I tried everything to make our relationship work for the sake of our kids, but something finally clicked in my head when this work was brought to my attention. I saw that I was not being loving towards myself by staying in the marriage with this man. 1 month after we split up, I was laminating to a friend that I had never ever been on a date since I had two long-term boyfriends, including my husband, who I had known through school and had known my husband since we were 13. She suggested I join a dating website just to get over my resistance and take my mind off the turmoil of my life being turned upside down. When I read my current boyfriend's profile, I thought it must be a practical joke because I could have written the list myself. We had so much in common, and he seemed so genuine and caring. My one test came through another man I met and went on a couple of dates with. This man was also a great match and had many wonderful qualities, but he was very busy and infrequent with his communication. I felt that I needed someone who had more space in their lives for me and my children, so I let him go. From then on, it was obvious my boyfriend and I were in each other's lives for a reason. I sent him a message saying so and told him if we didn't hit it off romantically, we were meant to be good friends. Right from the start, I felt like he was my guardian angel. I had never met such a thoughtful, generous man. I felt totally adored and respected and trusted him right away. To this day, he is the exact person. He presented himself to me and treats me and my children like gold. We're both artists and have complementary qualities and lifestyle. The universe was just waiting for me to let go of my unhealthy relationship to make room for what I truly deserve. I had been so stuck on the idea that I could transform my marriage and make it into something mutually loving in a safe space, but that was never going to happen. I've had so many realizations and periods of growth working through the unblocked programs and unpacking why I got caught up in such an abusive relationship to begin with. It's been so life-changing. Thank you. So I just really want to note, she did everything right, right? Like, she did the work. She's been unblocking. She had to jump off of a major cliff that is one of the hardest cliffs in life to make that decision, which is so personal to everybody. In this case, it does sound like it was really the right choice, especially for her children as well. And then she passed some tests and bam. So that's pretty much how manifestation happens. So bravo. Thank you for expanding us with that story. For those of you out there that are sharing this work with your friends, there is a code now where you can give 20 and receive 20 by referring. There's so many people that are always saying, I'm telling all my friends about this. So now you can click the link below and actually make money off of it. Also, if this piqued your interest and you are curious about doing this manifestation work, use the code JOURNEY, capital JOURNEY, for 1 month free off your 1 year membership or 10% off of a la carte. And if you just want to get some information, we send out great content, very little throughout the month, but you can sign up for the newsletter in a link below and you automatically enter for a lifetime membership to the pathway. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, I think that self-care is something we talk about. You know, recently we've been thinking about, you know, clean sleeping and a clean bedroom and how do you create that? And I think that for us, like, we want everything in our assortment to be able to work for somebody who might be looking for products that will be safe for their homes. And with organic, I mean, and the GOTS certification, fortunately, with that approved inputs list, pretty much everything has been tested for human safety, environmental safety, marine safety. Of course, we go further than that with Made Safe product. But I think one thing we have talked about internally a lot is the relationship between fiber and food and how actually, especially with natural materials, they're pretty close. So we're not ingesting them and they're not going through our digestive system, but everything that we wear or what we sleep on, you know, the skin is our largest organ. So it's absorbing into us. And the problem with fiber compared to food is that there's no ingredient list. We don't have to disclose anything besides like the fiber content.
Exactly.
But everything that's used to get there is a secret, really. Mm-hmm. It's proprietary. It's something we face to this day. Even Koyuchi, who's been around doing this for 28 years, there are still programs where we don't know exactly what the chemicals are, but that's why it's important for us to have third-party certifications who will look at it for us and determine that, you know, there are all these chemicals, 40, 50 chemicals, but you know, we know what they are and they're okay to use. So that's super important for us to be able to say with confidence. I will say, that being said, you know, I, for one, am super sensitive to VOCs, you know, these volatile organic compounds that you can't necessarily smell or see. Mm-hmm. Anytime I have something new in my home or in my environment, you know, I can get like super sensitive in terms of my respiratory system. And so organic
for products, me, bedding's the worst of it because I'm staying in it for 8 hours in the night, and especially pillows and mattresses. Mm-hmm. Like specifically, so yeah. Totally, absolutely,
yeah. And so I think with, you know, we sell a Naturepedic mattress, and Naturepedic is sort of like a Koyuchi for more of those like home products, the mattresses, the pillows, the mattress pads.
Is this the new pillow?
So not yet.
Okay, we'll get into that next, because I'm curious about that.
Well, I think it's good to even just like educate people on like what is in
pillows
and mattresses, because that definitely scared me when I learned this.
So a lot of mattresses are made with polyurethane foam or some kind of foam. And foams are terrifying. When we are developing this new pillow called the Serenity Pillow, even with latex, people can pour anything they want into the foam. Literally anything. We had one vendor tell us that they've heard of crushed up shells as an ingredient in synthetic foam. So that's not as scary as,
like
a carcinogen or a heavy metal.
Yeah.
But heavy metals are also used in the production of polyester, for instance. But so polyurethane foam, you know, it's made out of fossil fuels. So that's one thing that, you know, at Koyuchi, we don't believe in supporting. But there are all kinds of VOCs that can be emitted from that foam. But more importantly, what keeps, I think, those foams separate from an organic mattress is the use of flame retardant. So foam is highly combustible when it's made out of the polyurethane. You have to combine it with flame retardants. It's a law mm-hmm. in this country. Whereas in natural materials, where cotton, natural latex, wool, those don't combust as easily. And so, for instance, at Koyuchi, we have a no flame retardants policy. So we're able to pass all the flammability requirements for our mattress, which is made by Naturepedic, for our mattress pad, which is 100% organic cotton on the shell, but also in the fill and the padding. And that's really uncommon. There's no other, I think, organic cotton mattress pad on the market like that. So you're avoiding the flame retardants. You're avoiding some really intense VOCs. In pillows, there are not as many studies showing, you know, what's coming out of your pillows as dangerous. But again, if you're using those same materials, you know, you can assume that they're probably there.
And they're seeping into your skin.
And they're seeping into your skin. You're inhaling them. They're going into the dust in your home. So your pets, and you know, kids, et cetera, who are on the floor more mm-hmm. are just, you know, ingesting those at a far higher rate than adults. And so with our new pillow.
This is the one I actually know nothing about this, but I just saw my friend Sheba Rose post and I'm like, what the fuck is that? That's so cool.
It's such a cool
story. It's
a
game changer. So it's made out of 100% natural rubber latex. So mm-hmm. it's just the rubber sap tapped from trees, which are grown in Sri Lanka. And there are inputs. You have to use inputs in it to preserve it because it'll spoil super fast. Mm. You know, get a bunch of bacteria in it. They're out like in plantations, like, you know, 2-3 hours away from the factory. But basically it's has to be 95%, at least 95% natural rubber sap to be considered organic. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're using for this pillow. And what's so cool about it, besides the material part, is that there are these indentations. So we worked with a sleep consultant who had done extensive sleep research at Stanford University in his past. Mm-hmm. And so on one side, there are these two ear wells.
That's what she was talking about.
So
I don't even
sleep on my side. I'm a back sleeper, and I am now sleeping on my side because I just naturally roll my ear into these little cutouts.
And is it meant to help with wrinkling or something? Like, what is that?
So it's meant to help prevent wrinkling, because otherwise you're pushing up on your cheek, but also like ear discomfort. We've had a ton of feedback from people who have ear piercings who are like, I never have been comfortable sleeping on my ear, and now I am.
Wow. I can't even wear earrings at night because of that. Yeah. Exactly.
And so it's like either your cheek or your ear can fit in this ear well, which is really nice. And it's like a natural feeling. Like, I feel like my adrenal glands and everything are just like draining.
Yeah.
But
And then on the underside, actually, it's a little counterintuitive. There's a bigger hole that sort of looks like your head would go in it, but what it does is it goes underneath on the bottom so that there's like a little more support on the edge of the pillow. So it's positioning your head in a way that keeps your airways open. So, you know, if you have like sleep apnea or some serious sleep issues, you know,
any type
this
of
is
snoring,
not meant to like cure that.
Totally.
But it certainly can help. So that you're breathing
your airways,
properly when you're sleeping, you're not waking up with like all kinds of cricks or discomfort. It's just the most amazing thing I've ever experienced.
I'm also really curious, just on a total side note, what were some of the other highlights that he spoke about for really incredible regenerative sleep? I don't know. It was just a side note because I'm like always trying to hack what's the best.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the typical things that everyone says, right? Is like making sure that it's very cool and that it's very dark. And so we also like have these organic sleep masks that
tell me about that. I didn't even see those.
Yeah. So they're pretty affordable. They're $18.
Wow, that's like really affordable.
Yeah. And they're 100% organic cotton. And we have them in three colors and they're pretty massive. So they just kind of like cover your face when you sleep. And so it's like total darkness, cooling. I think all of those things, you know, listening to
breathing,
soothing.
Material, such as
and also not being on your phone right before you go to bed. And I'm guilty of this. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the big things behind this pillow as well, is that in this day and age, like, we're constantly on the computer, on our phones, binging on Netflix. Like, our necks are in unnatural positions all day. And, you know, if there's one way we can help with that, and it was really this pillow, so that you could really be able to sleep comfortably. And, you know, I think the thing with the latex pillow that I found really my favorite story of all of this was that Margot and actually our CEO went to Sri Lanka to visit these rubber trees in this forest. And
Anybody document that? I'd love to see that.
Did you get pictures?
I have like my personal photography, which
I want to see even what the trees look like. Google rubber tree.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it's kind of like maple trees, right? Where you tap the maple tree and the maple syrup comes out of the tree. The latex is very similar. It's like this, it just oozes out of the tree. But one of the things that was super interesting that our CEO shared with me when she got back was like, the guy giving me the tour didn't tell me this till later, but apparently leeches like to hang out in these trees.
Yeah,
and they just like drop down on you. Yeah. She's like, I swear I felt something, but I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's a dirty job out there,
someone has to bring the serenity pillows forward. I love that. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the house, because you guys have supplied, you know, we've partnered together and you guys have supplied a lot for the house. And I really went the organic linen route. That was like really, which has been really special throughout the house. And then we have the Ojai towels that are what people take to the river. I ordered selfishly up there that I have one of the robes, you know, and it's the shower curtain. But I just want to talk a little bit about like how it could be, because the house is situated in a forest. So you're forest bathing, and I really hacked this house to make it like such a biohacked house. I just want to hear a little bit more about the benefits of the person who is sleeping with the organic bedding, or, you know, is there any research done on that or anything for me who Jess will probably Google this after it. I'm insane. What are some of the benefits in this material?
So we kind of talked about foam and some of the hazards that go along with using that material. I think with chemicals, it's hard because there's definitely research being done on some of these chemicals that are used in production, but it's hard to like isolate just one type of product with a chemical in it to being the cause of X, Y, or Z. I think the real concern that, you know, experts in that we've talked to who work for some of these organizations looking at safety is, you know, the accumulation over time. It's all the exposure points. So like the pesticide residue on your sheet mm-hmm. or on your robe mm-hmm. might be really small, but you're exposed to that, you know, through the soil, through the food.
Completely through the air.
Through the air. Indoors, you know, there's new research on the air quality inside and actually that it might be incredibly hazardous because mm-hmm. of all of the different materials we have inside of our spaces.
That are offsetting, yeah.
That are offsetting. And so I think what we're finding in terms of organic textiles that's so important for us is that the industry is moving towards a place where that no longer is okay. And we're saying that, you know, the burden of proof used to be on the customer to say, I'm sick from this. It's your, you know, whatever chemical that's making me sick. Away from that, which is just doesn't work. It's not logical to where the manufacturer of a chemical needs to actually prove that it's safe mm-hmm. to use in the first place. And so that's why working with groups like GOTS and Made Safe is so important. It's not just looking at, you know, the end product safety, which there's another certification which you see out there called Ecotex 100, which is a great standard. A lot of our vendors use it. It tests a product and says that it's okay to be used on the market. But that's the end product. It takes zero consideration of everything that's used.
Mm-hmm. And upstream. It's not necessarily saying and it's organic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so I think that that's, you know, another piece of it. You know, when you were asking about the linen, so our linen is organic and it's really hard to find organic linen. There's definitely plenty of linen out in the marketplace. But growing flax is really, this was really interesting to me, is that you can actually only plant flax on one plot of land every 7 years.
What?
And so linen as it is really rare. And then in order for it to be organic in the off years, the off 7 years, what you grow on that land needs to also be organic.
Of
and
course.
So a lot of the farmers are growing, you know, food, you know, fruits, vegetables, all of those other things that are organic. And so it's this fully like circular type of a, you know, beast. And I kind of love that because it really is, you know, we're growing the flax for the sheets, but then they're also growing the food that you eat and all of that goes into the soil. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not putting chemicals into the soil, then it's, you know, it's this whole ecosystem that you're creating, which is really beautiful.
And so cyclical and important.
Yeah. But I was shocked to find that, like, I think it's only 1% of cotton and only 1% of linen is actually organic.
That's
like there should be more, right?
And we're all on about like GMO foods over here.
Yeah. And you know, there really should be more. And a big part of it is the consumer, right? Like the consumer has the power to say like, we're actually only going to buy organic. I mean, that's kind of how Amazon bought Whole Foods. It's like it was a whole movement of people saying, actually, I'm only going to eat organic. Mm-hmm. And you see local grocers that never used to carry organic foods now carrying organic foods because they're making money off of it.
Exactly.
So it's interesting.
It's a totally different mindset and it's like basically a huge systems change. I mean, just going back to conventional sheets, not organic sheets, for instance, you know, I go into a retailer and I see, you know, Easy Care, anti wrinkle, anti odor. You know, there are all these different angles for like
marketing.
How you can buy a sheet that's going to make your life so simple. But that is so counterintuitive. Why should it be that simple? And what does that mean? Like those finishes usually mean a chemical's been added, and now
and
we're finding out
chemical.
That a lot of those are dangerous. Like To make something stain repellent or water repellent, you're using a class of chemicals called PFAS or PFOAs. And I won't go into too much of this, partially because, again, I'm not a toxicologist.
Yeah.
But they're called forever chemicals amongst chemists. Wow. Because they never break down. We have these chemicals just outside, like in our environment. You know, I don't want these in my home, let alone like in
when
the soil
you sleep
that we
for
all
hours
share.
A day.
Yeah. Oh, so it's really kind of disturbing the more you find out about how little everyone knows about what some of these finishes are.
Yeah. It's mind blowing. And how often we forget, you know, when we're not directly in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really worth considering a lot more often than we are.
The anti-wrinkle one threw me off because, like, I mean, most men's shirts are like anti-wrinkle because they're wearing dress shirts and things like that. And I don't know if you want to speak to it.
Yeah. That can often use inputs that have formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, you know, in
Europe, disruptors,
Europe, they've, you know, banned formaldehyde in textiles, which is great. But in the US, we don't have that. And so, you know, here we are all walking around, you know, men are wearing these anti-wrinkle shirts. There are plenty of anti-wrinkle sheets that, you know, you see on the shelves still to this day.
And I think, you know, what's really important, it's like now I check labels like I used to on food. Like you check your labels of things you're eating. I'm now checking them on clothing, right? And most of the time it's
And where do you find that? On the site? For somebody who wants to educate themselves?
So on the site, typically most websites will disclose what's in it. And then even when you're in a store looking at the label, I always tend to find like someone's calling something cotton. And when I look at the label, it's like 80% cotton and then 20% polyester. And it's just like, why did you blend it? You know?
Yeah.
But you know, I think what's super interesting, and you know, I don't want to scare everyone about, you know, chemicals and all of these things, but you know, what we kind of fundamentally have to go back to is like the rawest form is typically the best. And so if you look at 100% cotton, it's super breathable. Like it is a performance fabric in its own. You don't need polyester for that, right?
Completely. It's so interesting. My body's always been so sensitive that I literally cannot wear viscose or things of such.
Yeah.
Like I can only wear 100% of a material. Otherwise, it just gets like horrific BO smells. Because my body literally can't breathe.
Your body's rejecting it.
Rejecting it entirely. It's rejecting it. Awesome. And also I think it's dumping, you know, the excess. It's having to excrete. Is that how I say it?
Yeah.
The excess chemicals, you know, out of the body. So yeah, I really think this is so important. I really feel that I manifested Koyuchi. And I'll tell you a little story about this because not only obviously did I discover you guys when I was young and have always, you know, seen this as an aspirational brand that hits a lot of notes. Like it hits an internal note of, you know, it feels very Marin to me, you know, so you get that cozy quality Northern California feel. You're buying into a lifestyle, but a very, very responsible and quality lifestyle. But I had been offered this opportunity. It was so interesting of the process of manifestation that I follow. I had been offered this opportunity to go to this farm that I'd been wanting to go to for a very long time, like fly over first class, do the whole thing, and then brand with this company and unpaid because like, again, we've partnered together and this isn't paid.
Yeah.
You guys came and were like, we're interested in, you know, doing something to collaborate. And I was like, I know just the thing, the house, you know, so everybody can experience it when they come.
Yeah.
So this other thing had come in front of me and it was like, seemed like a dream opportunity, but I would be so exhausted while being there. And I have severe like endocrine issues that make me very fatigued. And I had to stand in my power and be like, thank you so much for this opportunity, but I can't literally physically do this.
Right.
And literally the next day you guys reached out and I was like,
Oh my God.
Okay.
And that's what I believe in manifestation. I know is that we call, you know, it's like we're tested, you know, are you going to settle? And then the moment I was like, boy, am I passing up a really shiny opportunity. I would be stupid. Somebody else is going to benefit from this so much.
Yeah.
This brand that I had been loving and, you know, had really been aspiring to forever reached out to collaborate. And you guys have been amazing. I mean, I think
I asked
above and beyond to supply a lot of the house bedding. Again, this is totally unpaid. I just believe in the brand so much that I'm just so grateful that we get to collaborate in this way.
No. Yeah.
What do you have on your beds right now?
Oh, I have linen. And so prior to working at Creech, I had no idea linen was a thing in bedding. Mm-hmm. And it is pretty luxurious.
Oh, it's everything. My fiance, I again, was something else I would always aspire to, because I would go when I would travel to France with my ex. Yeah. His mother would always be like, I'm buying that 200-year-old flax, like old French sheets. So I'd always be like, linen, you know, it's like the thing, the quality.
And yours is French flax.
It is. French or Belgian.
Wow. So, which is the quality.
Yeah. And also the retting process in Europe is different from in China. So they field ret, which means that they leave the cut plant in the fields to naturally break down.
Wow.
The outer, so it becomes mulch. Outer core. Yeah. And so the bacteria eats away. And that's why sometimes the color can vary so much. In natural linen, it can be pretty gray to brown. Is depending on both the weather, the temperature, and then that how long that bacterial process, that decomposition takes place.
Incredible.
So it's pretty cool.
Oh, and then it was my current fiance who only has white linen sheets usually.
Oh, wow.
Although I'm really drawn in Koichi, which everybody will see at the house, is the raw, the more gray. Yeah, that is so beautiful.
So beautiful.
And it's weighted, which I will say is a self-care tip, that when you're sleeping, especially under the duvet and the sheets, it's more weighted. So it really does, if it's a cooler environment, because here in Topanga, we get that, you know, the coastal, what is it, like, fog mist.
Yeah.
It's the marine layer. It comes up and you have that weightedness on you sleeping, that it creates this deeper experience. I was actually just waking up this morning and I have it right now on our duvet here. And it was that moment I was like, why is this so heavy? And it is because it's a more raw weighted linen.
It is. It's actually interesting because there are, you know, other linen sheets on the market, and I've gone and like touched and feeled a lot of them. And yeah, ours is much thicker.
Oh yeah, sure. Absolutely. And then what do you have on your bed, Margo?
So I currently have our printed percale sheets, which were, we partner with this really cool group called Beyond Surface Technologies, BST for short. And they're basically a chemical innovation company, and they only use bio-based materials. They don't use any petroleum products to make their chemicals. And so that was a really cool partnership we worked on. And I have an old classic called the rustic linen blanket, which is this beautiful, like, slubby linen blanket that we don't sell anymore, but might come through a second home or Koichi for life. And then I have our double-stitched sateen quilt, which is this really, it sort of has that weighted feel. It's like
I have
extra
that
heavy.
Also at the, we have them at the house, and that is very weighted and very cozy.
Yeah, I love that. I just like, I need absolute darkness to fall asleep, and I need a little bit of pressure, and it's just that perfect extra layer for Pacifica. So
well, thank you both so much for
thank you for
here.
Having us.
Yeah,
it's so cute. I can't wait to see it.
I know. It'll be all Koichi in it. Now I'm like, that's going to be the guest mattress, and I'm going to go get the Koichi mattress for us. Yeah, my mind's spinning. And just thank you so much for the education, because I really, really think what you guys are doing is so important. And I know as a company owner, going for all of those certifications and staying at that integrity is very expensive, and it really, really cuts the margin down a lot, but it's incredibly important.
Yeah. I mean, I think something that Eileen, our CEO always talks about is like, we've never had a conventional product.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately we don't have like anything to compare to.
Perspective. Yeah.
But at the same time, that also means that we don't get all the certifications at one time.
Of course. Yeah.
It does require like research. Is it worth it? How much of the business does this protect? And you know, who's really doing the work, and where's like the benefit going? So,
And I think it definitely helps the consumer too, because I think nowadays, like, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I open my Instagram feed, I'm just hit
everything
with 8,000 companies selling the same thing. And, you know, it's like, how do you tell the difference as a consumer? Because everyone's using the same sort of marketing lines. And so unless you really have a seal of approval through a third party, verifying what you're doing is what's good for the environment and the people, it's really difficult, right? And it's kind of how we look at food.
like the USDA's, you know, organic seal is something that people now look for because anyone can call meat, you know, organic.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really.
And now people are actually really looking for non-GMO at this point, right? Because you can't even trust that anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think what's really important, the ending note for anybody who really aspires to have a company like this or is in a company and in pursuit of, you know, deeper integrity, to just see that it's possible, literally expanded, to see, to believe mm-hmm. that it's possible to scale, to make it profitable while also making it as responsible for the environment, the consumer, and the producer as possible. And I just, thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All righty.
Oh man, I'm just so inspired and impressed with brands like these that are really taking sustainability, quality, and design to the next level. So if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with somebody in your life or many that would enjoy this as well. And definitely give us a review with 5 stars. It's what pushes this to the top and allows us to keep bringing amazing content your way. Thank you and goodbye.